This particular class is on vocal arranging for effective leadership in contemporary worship, which is a title that Professor Stamm gave me. I'm going to briefly go through some like guidelines for this, and then we're going to demonstrate, have some people come up and talk about some of these things. Let me say from the beginning, you know, contemporary worship, contemporary music isn't the only style of music God's given us to worship Him with. It's one of many, many. But as I was saying in the piano class yesterday, or Tuesday, a lot of times people try to do a different style without understanding the parameters and the dynamics of that style, and it sounds awful. And people hear it and they go, well, we don't want that. And almost any style of music done well can be effective. It can move people. And so what I want to focus on today is just, you know, contemporary vocals. And let me define that. I'm thinking of a kind of an altered four-part arrangement where you usually have a male vocal singing the melody, a soprano singing the melody, an alto, and a tenor. So there's no bass. There's, for all intents and purposes, no bass vocal in contemporary vocals, unless you're doing like some world music kind of thing. It's just very rare. The more parts, the less contemporary. And by that I mean, right now, it's typical for, you know, a band to have just two vocalists, or maybe three. I come from a school of thought where, you know, you always have the three parts. Well, not necessarily. I'm going to talk about some of that today. But what that's saying is having eight people on eight microphones is not that contemporary. It may feel contemporary, but it's really not. The less skilled, the more vocalist. So you kind of work with what you got, meaning that contemporary is often focused on a soloist, which some people try to attach a moral value to. I don't think you can. I think you can use soloists wisely or unwisely. That's pretty much true of almost anything in the church. Soloist doesn't mean you have to act like a performer. A soloist can be an effective leader. And obviously, if you're going to use soloists, you want those people to be humble men and women. You want them to have godly character. And I would say you want them to be expressive, which I think I get into later. So less skilled, more vocalists. If I have, you know, 10 singers and none of them have really a good solo voice, I'm probably going to do an ensemble, a small choir, and just try to maybe go for a contemporary choir sound rather than try and make something work that I don't have the goods for. Does that make sense? Contemporary vocal sound, I'm thinking of a clear tone, vibrato under control. It's not like there's no vibrato, but it's under control. Your contemporary singer is usually not going to be someone who, you know, has a vibrato this wide. It's going to be more like this wide, and they can control it and use it in the right places. It's informal rather than formal diction. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the... Let me sing of in Christ alone. Christ alone. Mm-hmm. It is found. He is my rock, my light, my song. That's more formal diction. There, you know, your T's become D's in informal diction. You're delaying a lot of the consonants to the beginning of the first word. That's what I mean by informal diction, which is a really important distinction. You'll have people who are trained in choir trying to sing contemporary music, or trying to sing a song in a contemporary fashion. It just doesn't sound very contemporary. Everybody who's used to contemporary music is hearing it going, that's not contemporary. Because their diction is so clear and they're pronouncing all their syllables very carefully. In contemporary music, there's kind of this knowledge that, you know, we're going to sing more like we speak than making sure that every consonant is perfectly articulated. Because we all know what we're singing. It's not a matter of intelligibility. You know, we have the words in front of us right, you know, right here. We all know what we're singing. It's not like anybody's, oh, what's he say, what's he say? So there's just a little bit of a loosening on the standards there. Use of slides and inflections where in choral music, for instance, everything's written out and done exactly as it's written. Contemporary music is more oral. It's, you know, what you hear, and if you can hear it, then you can do it. What wisdom, what was it just, you just asked me about a song, not to us, but to your name. Hear that little slur, not to us. It's a 16th note slide down, but you probably don't have to notate it that way. It's not to us, when you notate it, D, C, B. But you'd probably sing it, not to us, but to your, those little drops. Now, those become very important when you're trying to have good ensemble. That's what I mean by, you know, just being aware of the things that are happening in contemporary music so you know how to make them work right. If you have three people using these kind of slides and inflections, but they've never talked about where they're going to do them, it sounds pretty awful. Which, you know, it typically does. Microphone technique is another part of contemporary music, which I'm not going to talk much about here. Bottom line is, a lot of mics work, well, two things. One, it's you want to hold a mic so that people can still see your face. But two, the closer you get to a lot of mics, the bass increases, the bass response increases. So a lot of people don't know that. They're right there on the mic, it sounds like this. And when they back away, it sounds more normal, but they want to hear themselves, so they're like here. So it's just something to keep in mind. There are multiple styles. We're not going to cover all of them. We're going to just kind of stick in the three-part mold. Blending is very important. You can't have people just kind of singing whatever they want to sing, however they want to sing. There is a intentional listening to what everybody else is doing. You know, you want to be expressive. You want to sing with all your heart. That's in contemporary music, I'd say one of the nice things about it is that there is this attempt to listen to what other people are doing. So, you know, you get that sense of community. You get that sense of togetherness. Now, you can do the same thing when everybody's just belting it and we're singing really loud, but it's just another way of appreciating that. All right, we're going to talk about harmony because, you know, arranging involves generally more than one part. The reasons we'd use harmony in arranging a song is to create musical interest and to draw attention to the lyrics. Harmony does not exist. We don't use it simply because it's beautiful. That's not the only reason harmony can be used. What happens is that we tend to use it all the time, which then ends up minimizing its effect. There is a difference between singing something in unison and singing something in harmony, and we will demonstrate that later when we have people come up and sing for us. And you'll hear, it's just a different effect. You can use it to emphasize sections or phrases or to bring dynamics to to the song. We wouldn't encourage free-form harmonization where everybody just kind of sings their own parts, although if nobody reads music, you may have to do that in your church. Just say, okay, well, who harmonizes? Oh, I do. Well, if two people are harmonizing, just make sure that like they're singing the same harmony, because there are often choices that need to be made in harmony, and it's just good if they're singing the same kind of thing. Basic rules for three-part harmonies, and this is where we're going to talk about some of the specifics. I was saying to Chip, there's really not a lot of rules. Here's some ideas, and I want to let you know, I stole some of this from Stuart Townend, who's written a lot of great songs for the church. He wrote something on arranging vocals, and some of these are his ideas. As a rule, which I agree with, as a rule, allow passing notes in the harmonies when they occur in the melody. So, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, da 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 You could do that a number of different ways, but there I'm just making all the notes go down the same. I wouldn't do this. We'll talk about that in just a moment. When the melody hits the second or the fourth, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, you're generally going to be making a choice about what the harmony is going to be doing. Like if the melody's on a second, the alto has to choose whether they're going to sing the seventh, the leading tone, which is a third away, or the sixth. So, here I am to worship. That's one way of doing that. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. So it's parallel thirds. Now, if the alto says, well, no, I think I might want to do the sixth, it would become this. Has to change there because the chord changes. And that's, I probably wouldn't do that. If I had a song that's, come thou fount of every blessing, okay, come thou fount, you do it two ways, come thou fount, or come thou fount of every blessing. Here's the deal, whatever the alto chooses to do, the tenor needs to respond. Or it could go the other way, whatever the tenor chooses to do, the alto needs to respond. If they don't, you end up getting a tritone, which is okay, but it's not always the best. So here's, you know, come thou fount of. It's more gospely. It's more, isn't that funny? Use the gospely as a musical style. Ugh, I hate that. But I know you all know what I mean. It's more traditional, if you will. Let's do it in D. Yeah, da, da. You just don't want to sit on that. I don't, personally. So it's okay as a passing tone, but there are two options there. Come thou fount, come thou fount. If the alto is going to choose to sing the seventh, the tenor should stay on the fifth. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune thy heart to sing. Now, yeah, here's it. Thy praise. No, no. Sing thy praise. Or you could do sing thy praise, which I'd probably opt for. Sing thy, come thou fount of every blessing, in thy heart to sing thy praise. Or, you know what I do? It depends on like which, whether the alto or the tenor is more musical. And so who's ever more musical, I have them change. Really, and this is like real life. You'll be working with people and they'll have a part in mind, and like it doesn't matter how many times you tell them to sing something different, they're going to sing that part. So you just say to your more musical vocalist, let's change. And that's where it'll usually happen. Now, there's another problem. That's when none of your vocalists are musicians. And then you just work with the one that, you know, has the better ear. Or you go to unison at that moment. That's another option. Okay. Good harmony parts are usually good melodies in themselves. For those of you who, how many like know how to notate and would arrange your parts, like writing them out? Okay. All right. One of our temptations is, you know, we know the chords, we know the harmonies, and so we're going to make those notes fit the harmonies. And you just come up with these really strange second and third parts, and they're just, you know, so hard to sing. Now that's fine if you're arranging for a group like GLAAD, like I used to do, and you know, they can sing like anything. It's fine. But when you try to sing that in real life, you know, people's faces are going, you know, they're trying to remember the parts you gave them. It's not worth it. It's much better to write a part, a harmony part, that is natural, that will sound almost like a melody. So, you know, that's where I would almost allow a tenor, if he was going to go, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. If, yeah, okay, you know what? If that's what they're most comfortable singing, go for it. And the only time then I'll insert myself is when the note they're singing isn't in the chord. You know, so if the tenor wants, if the alto wants to go da 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 da, no, it's got to be the A, da, because it's not a B minor chord, it's a D chord, so you need that A. So I'll make sure they sing that. But if it's just a passing tone, and you know, that's what makes, you know, country music, folk music, Appalachian music, bluegrass is what I was looking for. That's one of the appeal, is that those parts are so easy to sing. They just naturally fall in the voice. That's not a bad thing. Don't get so caught up in your ability to figure out fancy harmonies that you mess it up for your vocalists. In general ideas, harmonize choruses. This, again, is contrary to hymns, where you'd harmonize the whole thing, typically. You start right off with, you know, four-part harmony or whatever. In a lot of contemporary songs, there's a verse and a chorus. So go to your chorus first. In fact, I tell my vocalists when I'm introducing a new song, this is the third point there, sing unison through the first two passes so everybody gets the melody. They don't need to hear the harmony. They're not going to be, well, at least people in my church aren't going to be singing the harmony all the time. Give them the melody. Let's hear what the melody is. It can be effective to use unison at times. I'll demonstrate that in just a moment. It can add strength or intimacy. Like at the end of a chorus, and I wish I'd done a little more preparation for this, to have a song at the tip of my tongue, that would be good. Sometimes the line itself lends itself more to unison than trying to sing harmony at the end. Okay, we might, you know, Oh Great God, that song I taught this morning, we might demonstrate with that a little bit. Hymns, to add variety, you can harmonize later verses or the second half of the verse. A great example would be In Christ Alone, you know, where you've got In Christ Alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in heaven, when he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Unison again. It will be something totally different. People will hear something different if you have the freedom and the courage to say to your vocalists, no, don't sing harmony there. Just sing unison. And you know, ideally, you want vocalists who realize that the reason they're singing is to serve the congregation, not to prove that they can do harmony. And I've worked with them. I just, you know, I can't sing harmony there? What? Yeah, that's my spiritual gift, the spiritual gift of harmony. I'm sure I've met people who believe that, and no, you're here to serve, edify the body with your gifts, and right now I think it'd serve people if you sang unison, if you just sang the melody. And some people, they don't even hear like that. You know, as soon as the melody starts, they're looking for that harmony part. So it can be a challenge, but I'd work with your vocalist to see the value of melody, to see the value of melody. You know, Scripture talks about both, but we're making a melody in our heart to the Lord, and that's what we want to do. We want to know how to do that. Then we can figure out how harmony fits into that. Two-part harmony, just using the alto or the tenor, can be stronger than three-part at times. It just provides a different sound. So you could use either the alto singing the alto part, or the alto singing the tenor part, or soprano and tenor, or alto and tenor, you know, depending on what the song is and that kind of thing. Other considerations, we'll have plenty of time for the workshop. Oh, did my? No, good. Oh, we'll have plenty of time. Excellent. Fills, let me just say one thing about fills, because that's a widely used but widely misunderstood aspect of contemporary music in congregational worship. You know, some people have really good voices, and they just fill everywhere. And you know, it gets a little old. In Christ alone, in Christ alone, my hope is found, my hope is found. Why am I forgetting all this song? What has it got? In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my soul. He is my song. You know, and you just really want to say, brother, shut up. Just, I appreciate your personal worship experience, but, you know, that's not what you're supposed to do. So one of the things I do is, you know, if you have a team, okay, if you have two or three vocalists, and some of them might be gifted, restrict it to the gifted people, but then encourage them when they sing a fill line to expand the thought of the lyric rather than just repeat it. Not repeating is not wrong, you know, anticipating is not wrong, but when I'm leading, I'm trying to say things that will draw attention to the lyric in a fresh way. You know, so let's think. Here's my what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the power of Christ I stand. Not a lot of space there. Let me give another example. What songs do we have here? Okay, yeah. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die? You died for me. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? I didn't deserve your love. Da, da, da. Or something where I'm just responding to the truth that we're singing, which is then going to help people think of the words that we're singing. But I don't want to do that too much. I don't want to make it, you know, feel this responsibility to always, this way now, this way. You know, I think effective leadership comes from just popping up at the right places. You know, people are, they're on this journey as we're worshiping God, we're interacting with Him, we're proclaiming His truth, we're proclaiming our love for Him. He's speaking to us through His Spirit. And, you know, occasionally, I want to say, look at this. Yeah, isn't this amazing? You know, because I want to stimulate not only their thinking, but their affections as well. I don't want it just to be a head trip where, okay, yes, yes. So, I mean, this morning, sometimes we sang, what was the second song? What wisdom was devised by Oh, I don't know what song you did it in, but I just said, yes, you are. Because it's just affirming, yes, you are this to us. And I'm not saying it because I think, oh, this will really get people going. It's because it's true. Join all the glorious names. Oh, thanks, Chip. Jesus, your name is glorious. Yes, it is. Our prophet, priest, and king. You know, it is glorious. We're not just singing those words to the ceiling. Your name is glorious. Well, that's something we want to celebrate. So just real briefly, and those are more spoken things, but my point is those can be used very effectively. So if you're in a setting where someone feels they need to do that all the time, you'd want to direct them in this way. And I encourage you, if you have no one who ever does it, but you have someone with a gifted voice and really thinks about the words, which everybody should be thinking about the words, but you know, they're always engaged with the songs you're singing, I'd encourage them in this way. Finally, the presentation. But part of the value of contemporary music, however you define it, is its authenticity, its genuineness, its personalness. Now, at its worst, that becomes, you know, slop and emotionalism and sentimentalism and, you know, worshiping our feelings. That's at its worst. But it doesn't have to be that. Excuse me, I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, hearing children sing is so moving. Because it's not done with any guile. It's not done with any agenda. It's just, it's what you see is what you get. And I think that quality is something that contemporary music can possess. Now, unfortunately, you know, there have been some models, and it's not the fault of the model so much, but there have been some models that people try and copy. And, you know, it's unhelpful because then it becomes just canned worship. And worship cannot be canned. It is worship with the heart. You know, it involves engagement with the heart. So I think I used an illustration here one time where, you know, you can sing, I can't sing this way, but what wisdom once devised the plan where all our sin and pride was placed upon. You know, I could sing it like that, and some people might be really ministered to. But a lot of people would just be affected at how affected what I'm doing is. You know, they'd be hearing the training, if I was doing that well. They'd be hearing the schooling. They'd be hearing the diction. And I don't want them to hear any of that. I want them to hear what I'm singing about. So I wrote this song for that purpose. I want people to glory in the majesty, the mystery, the love, the mercy, the righteousness, the wisdom of the cross. So it's more a simple lilting. What wisdom once devised the plan where all our sin and pride. You know, it's almost like it's spoken. That justified, all sin and pride was placed upon the perfect Lamb who suffered, bled, and died. And I'm not interested in people noticing how long I hold the notes or, you know, I just want them to hear these words. The wisdom of a sovereign God, whose greatness will be shown. When those who crucified your Son rejoice around your throne. So I'm wanting to do everything I can to tell people this is coming from my heart. Because I'm amazed that these words are true. So that's all to say that when people sing contemporary vocals, you want them to be engaged, you want them to be expressive, and you want it to be natural. There are people who love God with all their hearts, and God bless them. You just would never know it. When they're singing, you know, it could be, what, let's use a song we're using. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would get, you know, great. And they may be just engaging in it. But I want someone who is not only going to sing that, but you can see it. And it's natural. You know, I never tell people, stuff like smile like you mean it, or be expressive, even if you don't feel like it. No, you should feel like it, and it should be natural. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son. I want to be thinking about those words. I want people to see when if they happen to look up. See, I don't expect people to be looking at me the whole time. But I tell our musicians, if someone, maybe they're an unbeliever or they're a new Christian or they just happen to glance up, I want them to see me engage with these words. I want them to see so that their attention is immediately directed back to the one we're singing to. I want anybody to look at me and go, look at how they're doing this. And, isn't that? I don't want them thinking about me at all. I just want them to be singing these words with all their heart and mind and soul. So those are some of the overall characteristics. Now I need three volunteers who I will, Tony, great, thanks. Do you sing tenor? Okay, great. And we need a soprano? Okay, great. And an alto? And we need an alto who can be like flex. Anybody sing alto? Okay, great. And you're? Megan? That's the name of my oldest daughter. Okay, great. And I'll sing melody. Okay, great. Let's take this song. Yeah, that'd be great, I think. Would that be better? Yeah, probably, because then I can speak to you. And I'll have my mic here. All right, let's do soprano, alto, tenor. Okay, and your name is? Melissa. Melissa, I think we've met. Is that true? Okay, and Megan and Tony. Okay, great. So, I've got this song, How Deep the Father's Love, and I want to arrange it in a contemporary way. And it's kind of a contemporary song, so that helps. I noticed, Chip, both these songs are slow and reflective, so we may do something that's more out there. So here's the first thing I do is look at the structure of the song. Okay, it's a hymn-like song. Da 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 da. Okay, that's the first phrase. Da 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 da. Second phrase. Now the third phrase goes up. Da, and there's kind of an emotional lift right there. Da 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 da. Then the final phrase, which is just like the first phrase. Da 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 da. Now the first thing I want to do is look at the words, because that's what I'm going to build everything around. Now, we don't typically do this. We just think, oh, what sounds good? Or what can I harmonize? Or, you know, where's the big parts? And I would just strongly suggest you look at the words first. So we're just going to assume we're going to start this unison. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. Right there, you're... Okay, there's a statement, and it rises up. Maybe that's a place to do harmony. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Now, okay, we'll just work with that verse, okay? And let's see what we can do with that. We'll start with unison on the first line. How deep the Father's love for us in a measure. And unison on the second line. We'll go to three part at how great. Now, the part that's going to be quirky there is Megan's part. Because you've got. That would be natural. I think, will that work? Yeah, that works. Yeah, that works fine. And Tony has got to sing the sixth. Da, 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 to go with, so it's not. Da, 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 da. Oh, it's so bad. Sometimes tenors who aren't thinking will just go down the scale. Da, 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 da. I just say, no, you gotta skip that note. You gotta skip the seventh, go to the sixth. How great do 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 do. Now here's the chord is a C sharp minor. Father turns his, actually C sharp minor 7, but we're gonna say it's a C sharp minor. Face away. That's the other thing you gotta watch out for is sus. When you have a sus 4 in the harmony, and your alto or tenor is probably gonna have to be aware of that. We can try it just singing the third and show how that sounds. It's usually, we don't need to do that, it's awful. And then at the end, it's a more reflective thought, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. But you know what, let's do this. Let's do the three part, which mar the chosen one, and unison on the end. Bring many sons to glory. Now watch how that brings that line out. Now again, people in the congregation aren't listening to everything you do, but subtly these things will have an effect. It will just bring a clarity to that line. So let's just sing through the song unison once, and then are you ready to do it in harmony the way I described it? All right, let's do it, and then I'll make some changes. Let's see. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch's treasure. Parts. Yes. As parts.
Which are the chosen
unison.
One, bring many sons to glory.
Okay, great. Now, if this was my team, that was beautiful. If this was my team, I'm going to be saying, Melissa, can you sing that first line for me? I just want to be familiar with their voices. How? Okay, Megan, can you sing that? Okay, and Tony?
How deep the Father's love for us.
Okay. I was hearing more vibrato when you were singing it together. That was all great. One of the things, if I want a contemporary sound, it's got to come from the vocals. Now, have you had classical training, Tony? You sound like you have. Megan? Okay, so you all have. It's a little, Melissa? What's that? You can, okay. Take it out. Yes. Well, you know, in one sense, that's what you're asking people to do. It's not like it's wrong. It's not like one's better than the other. It's just a different sound. And so at first pass, I'd say, yeah, this sounds like three people who have been trained in, you know, choral music who are now singing this song. So try just a little lighter tone, less vibrato, and we'll do the exact same thing. And then we'll talk more, okay? Ja, da, 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 and listen to each other.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
Okay, already that's better. Did you hear the difference? Okay, it's a little better. Now, Tony, I'm still going to ask you back off a little bit. And this is.
I'm used to it.
I hear that self-control coming through. What you learn in choral music is to, you know, give great thought to the way the sound is being made. And, you know, the diction, it's just, there's a lot of thought put into it, which are all wonderful tools. So again, I don't want to hear anybody saying that, you know, this is there's this cross I bear that, you know, contemporary sound is the best. It's just a different sound. But if you want a contemporary sound, this is the kind of stuff you got to talk about. And it's not a moral issue. You know, when we're looking for people to sing on our team, we try to place them where we think they'll fit the best. So there's an ensemble where the range of vocal sounds is much greater. If we're going to have them sing in a soloist, we want a more contemporary sound. Although at times we have this guy in our church who's a part of the Kennedy Center Opera Choir, and he did. I got to tell you this. He did an audition one time. He's like standing over, you know, by that stand, and I'm playing the piano here, and he's saying so loud it hurt my ears. I thought, I have never experienced anything like this. You know, he's just singing, oh! I mean, his resonance was so, oh man. Well, now we've got him training our youth. We're doing Godspell for a youth musical in our church. We do it almost every year with some alterations and stuff. some significant alterations. But But he's training our youth, and he's training them not to sing like an opera singer, but he's just training them how to take care of their voice, how to get the most out of it. But my point is, in contemporary music, the of course there's a focus on the sound, but the focus is do everything you can to draw attention to the effect of these words on your soul. So it's, oh boy, this is just, what a great song. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. You know, it's, you're reflecting on to make a wretch. Well, let's go back a line. That he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. That's just an amazing thought. So let's let that come through a little bit more just in the way we're seeing it. Just be thinking of that. And, you know, we're worshiping God as we're practicing, as we're doing this workshop. These things will be true all the time. So let's go back and let's make a little change. Let's start in harmony. Let's put all of you in harmony and see how that sounds. And go to unison on the second part. How great the pain of searing. Father turns his face away. So we'll keep the lower parts in harmony and then the higher part in unison. Okay. How deep. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Let's take a break after vast. How vast beyond all measure. And really drop off at the end of that. Ya-da-da-da-da-da. How deep. And move it a little bit. Vast. Should give his only son. How great. In unison. How great.
When the pain of searing comes, the Father turns his face away. As wounds which are not chosen.
That could be harmony. Okay. You see the different effects that happen as like they sing unison, parts together. Anything like you can do to make to bring some focus to a part of the song. Now you got to decide where that's going to be, and it may take like working with it a number of times. The thing is not to just say, okay, everybody, harmony here. All right, great, let's do it. Okay, great, we got it. You know, but to use the power of harmony, the effect of harmony, to bring glory to God. You know, to function in such a way that it helps the lyrics. One more thing I want to do is do a two-part thing. And I'm doing way more than I would typically, but this is just to demonstrate some different techniques. Well, what do you think? Begin unison or in parts? Unison. Okay, why? It gives you something to build to. All right, that's good. Anything else? It's what? Impact of the text. Okay. So we'll start with unison. How deep is the first house? And let's leave that little break in. How vast. You know, it's like, how vast. Woo! Beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make his treasure. And then parts. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. Okay. Now, Megan, I'm going to ask you to sing the sus there. The father turns his face away. No, don't just way. Yeah, which is another odd thing about contemporary music. Sometimes you don't have the time to. See, we're so focused in choral music on all the endings and making it sound so beautiful. Contemporary music isn't like that. It's say it and get out of there. I mean, a lot of times it's just You know, we're not interested in hearing you carry on. That's what you'll find, like in a choir. You'll have some people who are used to singing more contemporary style, and they'll end everything pretty soon. And then you'll have people who are trained and just haven't sung in that context, extending everything to the end of the measure. And it's just a different way of singing. So we want to bring it to a close a little sooner at the end. And then we'll do parts. So yeah, a face away. And just let it fade off. Way as, just to keep, listen, oh, that's what we do. You two sing the melody there as wounds. And Tony, you sing, wounds which were the chosen one. How about wounds which mar the chosen one? And then unison, bring many sons. Okay, here we go. And what the other thing is that you're tending to sing it a little slower. So let's just move it along and let's think these words and sing them. Yeah. Da, 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 da. How deep
the Father's love for us.
Sounds so nice. Yes, it is. Fade off on those endings. Sounding so much more contemporary. How great. Don't slow down because you're singing harmony. Yes. Yes. Now, I know I was yelling through parts of it, but does that affect you any differently from the first time they sang it? I mean, it does me. I just want to make sure I'm not alone. Okay, why? What was different? Very good. That's very good. Yeah, they've just learned to blend by being up here and singing these things and thinking about different things. Okay, it's not about the richness of my tone. It's not about, you know, the control. I mean, obviously, to sing any kind of music well, you need to have some kind of control. It's just a different focus. And what you did was control your vibrato. You controlled your endings. Okay, it doesn't have to be so. And really, just that little difference makes a huge difference in the way it sounds. Contemporary music does not typically draw out endings of phrases in the middle of a song. And you know, when we're notating music that we sing, a lot of times that's a question because, you know, the person who's singing the song ends at like these unusual places, you know, beat 2.5, beat 3.75, and you know, hey, how are we gonna notate that? So we'll generally notate it, you know, half note, whole note. But when you're singing it, it's more of, okay, no, when would that end? Just let that fade out. So, just that, great job. Yeah.
Talk about color chords in the piano.
Yeah.
Do you let the singer sing the ninths and the things like that, or is that sort of simpler is better?
Simpler is better. That's a great question. Yeah, let the vocalist sing the main parts of the chord, typically, because it makes for a better part. For the inner parts, for tenor and alto. We made one change. This the Power of the Cross. Do you all know that song? So, this the power of the cross. Well, we had the alto sing the second and resolve it. So it's, this the power of the cross. But it was still a melodic line. So they got it was easy, and it was a nice texture. So, but typically, you know, when you're just sitting on a chord, it works. If you're not sitting on the chord, it just makes for funny parts. Okay, well, do you want to do another one? Okay, let's do one that's more up. Let's do In Christ Alone. Okay, let's do, Join All the Glorious Names, okay? We just sang, do you know that? That's pretty easy. But I'd rather do one that you know. Jesus, name is glory. Chip, how much time do we have?
Keep wrapping it up,
Oh man, let's do it in Christ alone. Okay. Okay, let's sing. What did you say? Final comments? Oh, they got it here in Christ alone. Okay. These are my final comments. Do you know that well enough? In Christ, start singing. Who has found?
He is my light, my strength, my strength.
A little less vibrato.
His cornerstone, his solid ground.
Yes, he is.
Firm through the fiercest crowd
and storm. What parts? Unison. Okay, I'm going to modulate. We'll go to the third verse. There in the ground. There in the ground. Tenor, Tony. Yes, sing it like you mean it. Oh, yes, he did. Parts.
And as he stands,
yes,
in victory,
since curse has lost
its grip on me.
Yes. Well, okay, great. Okay, that's good. Yes, since curse. But you hear how they just naturally did that inflection. Curse has lost its grip on me. Everybody did it together. And curse has lost its grip on me. That, if you're not wanting to sing contemporary, it would sound, curse has lost its grip on me. And it sounds very blocky and unhelpful, but you all have been transformed in a little way. No, I think the way they're singing now is much more contemporary. So thank you. Can we thank them for just being the guinea pigs? Thank you, man. Great job. So I hope that's helpful, and that God blesses all your ventures into arranging vocals.